Welcome to another edition of the Fox Football Podcast, the midweek version. I'm Adam Peacock. Now, had something lined up today, but I've scrapped it because Melbourne Victory have scrapped Marco Kurtz, figuratively speaking. They've sacked him, essentially. So I want to get our teeth into this and find out the story behind the story with Dave Davutovic. Normal service will resume next week. I'm actually recording a real special episode with two CEOs from the A-League about how to run a club. Now, it's not going to be boring administrative chat. It's going to be about how exactly you form a roster, you try and win, you've got the commercial considerations, all the other things that to do with running a football club, go behind the story in that regard. So that's next week, but this week it's all about Melbourne Victory and all about Marco Kurtz, expunged of his duties, if that even makes sense. And it happened this morning, and the man who broke the story on the Herald Sun is Dave Davutovic, and he joins me now for a quick chat about things. Davo, firstly, well done on breaking the yarn. It's a big one. Is it a shock?
Expunged. I like it, Adam. Mate, good to be with you. Look, it is a shock. Yeah, it is, in a word, because I knew he was under pressure. I didn't think they pulled the trigger that early, especially for a club like Melbourne Victory, who historically have given their coaches every opportunity. But there were clearly issues behind the scenes, otherwise they wouldn't have pulled the trigger at this time. But they had a board meeting on Tuesday morning / early afternoon, and had a meeting with Kurtz later that day and relieved him of his duties. So, shock news whenever you lose a coach, but particularly for Melbourne Victory, who, you know, the word at the start of the season was that, you know, they won't get rid of him during the season. They will give him every opportunity. He signed a 2-year contract. They said they'll give him at least a year, but clearly there was a tipping point, and they decided to sack him. Well, I wouldn't say prematurely, but sack him earlier than expected.
This smells like then the players have had something to do with the final decision. Now, I'm not saying that they're the cause of the final decision, but I'm just putting two and two together here, and tell me if I'm getting five. So looking at Tim Hoogland, who's played one game out of 13, started, that is. Robbie Cruz, who started 8 of 13. Naboot missed 3 games with a hamstring. Toivonen has missed a couple. He's out now with a groin. Tommy Deng has had a groin problem. All of those were soft tissue injuries, or some of them. Tim Hoogland's latest one is a knee, but before that it was a groin. So that, married with the fact that we know Marco Kurtz works his players hard, have the players had something to do with it in terms of talking to the hierarchy and saying, this guy is killing us?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. Before I sort of expand on that, I'll throw it back to you, Adam, because you were pitch side on Sunday after that Mariners game where it really kicked off. Can I just ask you what sort of vibe you got? I mean, even, you know, before and during the game with regards to the players and Marco Kurtz?
In terms of behaviour, given the way that the game turned out, and I said it on air that Andrew Naboot was lined up to do a post-match interview on the field, Robbie Cruz and Lee Broxham were just apoplectic about the result and how it turned out. They dragged Naboot off, and then they just went off in a huff. It just looked like a bunch of players who were frustrated, like, on the surface with the result, but surely some of the underlying frustration had to do with the way that their season was going. Now, what exactly the reason for that is remains to be seen. After it, I spoke to Kurtz as well. He just looked like a ticked-off coach. He didn't look like a guy who was about to be hit by a bus, metaphorically speaking, if you know what I mean. So I didn't get the feeling that that Kurtz was under pressure because of that result. I just saw a bunch of very frustrated human beings about a number of factors, including the referee, including the result, but maybe deeper forces at play. Back to that about the playing group and how happy they have been under Kurtz, and maybe that had something to do with it. Did you get those vibes? Have you had those vibes in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I don't think it was a case of, you know, Lee Broxham or Robbie Cruz marching into the office and demanding for Kurtz to be sacked. You know, in fact, I think a Cruz, would have been very sympathetic to Kurtz, you know, having played in Germany for a long time. And I know Kurtz rated him very, very highly, and they could obviously speak the German language and whatnot. But you just have to look at the players and the body language on the pitch. And I thought Sunday was pretty telling, Adam, because I think you made this point on Fox Sports News just moments ago, that they looked quite almost unprofessional, or not as professional as they have been in recent times. And for me, they just smack of a team that's frustrated, which means that, you know, there's things going on behind the scenes, whether it's training, whether it's injuries. I know that the schedules changed quite substantially this year. On Monday, for instance, and a lot of it's out of, you know, Kurtz's control, but I think they got back really, really late on Monday night because they've what's happened is their recoveries have been, last year they would have flown back earlier the day following a game, but they tend to do the recovery on the away trips and fly back later. But then because of all the smoke and whatnot, the flights got delayed and they got back in, you know, really, really late. Now, to be honest, I think his fate was sealed prior to that. But there's all these little things that I think added up. But I think the biggest frustration from the players' viewpoint has probably been the philosophical change at Melbourne Victory. Like, there's been, you know, a number of games this year where you've sort of sat there, especially at home, you know, at Amy Park, where, you know, for instance, they play Wellington Phoenix. And to be honest, that was at the start of Phoenix's ascent, so we probably underestimated how good they were. But Phoenix absolutely battered Melbourne Victory that day, and Victory sort of sat back and almost played a counter-attacking game. And we're not used to seeing that. And Victory fans don't want to see that. They're a big club. You know, they've won four titles. There's a bit of arrogance attached to that club, as there should be, you know, being arguably the biggest club in the A-League. And this year they haven't, they certainly haven't come across as a confident or arrogant team. You know, they've almost been that pragmatic counter-attacking team that's, you know, hovering around mid-table, happy to play finals football. And they haven't had that personality of previous seasons and the personality they had with Kevin Muscat in charge, as much as, you know, Muskie had some issues over the journey as well, and, you know, results didn't always go for him. So I think that was a big one. But certainly the point you touched on earlier about the injuries, there's no doubt that was a factor. And I know there was a difference in opinion in terms of the coaching staff and the conditioning staff at various stages. And, you know, the sort of the ligament injuries and the knees and the ankles and all that, you know, they are quite often unlucky and difficult to prevent, let's say, whereas the soft tissues, you know, in the conditioning world, they say the preventable ones, and they've had far too many of them. And, you know, there's no doubt Tim Hoogland, for instance, was rushed back too early. You know, I think it was that Adelaide game away that he played, and then he ended up missing another month. You know, if Tim Hoogland plays 6 or 7 games this season, Marco Kurtz doesn't get sacked today. They're a completely different team. You know, one player can make such a difference in the A-League. But, yeah, I think that domino effect of a number of those injuries, and they have been worked pretty hard, as you alluded to, that definitely contributed to his downfall.
Yeah, I heard the same about Hoogland, that they rushed him back for that Adelaide game and that they paid a heavy, heavy price. And Taylor, you saw the one game that he did start, he was just fantastic, just a rock.
Unbelievable.
At the back, yeah, he's just so talented, and it freed up, it fixed the problem that they were having in midfield with Lee Broxham going in there and that. But just in a general sense, so it's instructive to find out what is going to happen now in terms of this next question I'm going to ask you about how Melbourne Victory make a decision like this, and who exactly is around the table having a discussion about matters like this, and what exactly they do to move the club back forward again. I know they've put in Kurtz's second assistant, which is good, a bit of continuity there for the players for this weekend's game against Adelaide United. But overall, how would you see the discussions that have taken place, how they did happen, and now what do they do?
And just to clarify for Victory fans, so the first assistant, Filip Kapalovic, is also departing along with Kurtz. However, the second assistant, Carlos Salvatura, the Spaniard, will take charge in a caretaker capacity for the rest of the season. Now, Carlos was actually there last season. Kevin Muscat headhunted him from Spain and was his number one assistant effectively last season and stayed on this year. So he's had a lesser role, but they obviously rate him pretty highly, hence he's taking charge for the rest of their campaign. So I think the board, so the people that would have been central to that decision would have been the chairman, Anthony DiPietro, Mario Bison, their majority shareholder and board member. And then, you know, Trent Jacobs, their CEO, he's obviously very hands-on, as the CEO always has been, in terms of the decision-making. And, you know, because there was a board meeting yesterday, obviously the other board members, you know, would have had a say as well, Joe Mirabella, et cetera. So they would have been the chief decision-makers, and they would have thrown up all sorts of scenarios. It's interesting that they have appointed Carlos for the rest of the season. I think that's with a view to giving themselves time, not rushing into a decision to replace him. Because remember, of course, Kurtz, they did take a while to appoint him. I think it was late June by the time he was appointed, but he was on a six-man shortlist. I think they interviewed, you know, over a dozen candidates. So I'm not sure how many of those would still be available, but they obviously rate Carlos. And Carlos, you know, going back to that style discussion, is more, you know, old Victory in terms of offensive possession-based football. You know, and then you talk about a little, you know, mid-season overhaul. They're bringing in Marco Rojas. You know, you get Toivonen and Tim Uglan back. I think they're confident of being able to, you know, to turn things around. And I think you'll just get that natural reaction from the players, you know, with a new coach coming in. They've got their Asian Champions League game on Tuesday as well.
Against Bali. Bali United.
Yeah, Bali.
Hey.
I reckon they must be gutted it's not an away game.
Oh, pissed right off. I would be. Imagine that. Play a match and have 1,000 bintangs.
Call for a rescheduling of that one.
Yeah.
It'd be a perfect reaction, perfect place to go after having the coach sacked. But yeah, like that all would have factored into their decision making. I've got no doubt, Adam. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But like I said, yeah, very sort of uncharacteristic for Victory to go that hard that early. They have given their coaches every opportunity. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they say at their press conference later today.
Yeah, we're recording this before the press conference. If you're listening to it after, you found out what they're going to say, but we'll see how the club moves forward. And maybe, you never know, Carlos might get the job full stop if he does a good job. We've seen it before with caretakers coming in around the world and they do a good job and then the club falls in love with them. It happened with Mehmet Jurakovic. Remember a few years ago with Melbourne Victory and numerous other football clubs around the world. But Davor, thanks so much for joining us, mate. You know what? I'm coming down to Melbourne next week, so we're going to do a podcast face-to-face. Does that sound good?
Mate, let's do it.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. Thanks, mate. Have a good arvo.
We can do another one in Bali, mate, but look forward to catching up.
We might not come back.
Good on you, mate.
So that was that. We're looking forward now to seeing how it transpires for Melbourne Victory on Friday night, because they take on Adelaide United away from home. We knew that Marco Kurtz wasn't going to be on the sideline after getting sent off last week against Central Coast. He's not going to be there full stop now. So the new era for Melbourne Victory begins again, a real high-pressure match, and you can see it on Fox Sports between Adelaide United in not the greatest of form themselves and Melbourne Victory. And as mentioned at the top of this little podcast, next week, a really special edition about how to run an A-League club with two CEOs from the A-League. Look forward to your company then. Until then, enjoy your football.